Hello, thank you too. Thank you for coming into tuning into Universal Soul Love. I'm David Love, and I have Lana Love with me.
Hello, great to have you on our show. Good afternoon to you from Australia, and in America, I think it's in the evening.
Yep, it's about 10 p.m. in California.
So this show is about Universal Soul Love. This is an exciting new show about consciousness, love, awakening the planet, and all topics in between.
Yep. I'd like to introduce you to Dr. Lana Love, as I just did. Lana is a medical doctor. She's a psychotherapist. She's a Buddhist. She's an animal rights activist. She's been actively involved in the spiritual community for many years, helping people with all kinds of mental health issues and spiritual matters. And she's my partner.
And I'd like to introduce David Love, who's actually David Almeida. David is a mystic, a philosopher. He's written many books on mysticism, awakening. He was also a private investigator, and David brings with him a huge knowledge about life and the ability to raise consciousness and move forward to enjoy a good quality of life, and for all of us to connect with each other to make this life worthwhile.
Thank you, Lynn. And that's the purpose of the show, is about raising the consciousness of humanity and bringing up issues around environmental activism and civil rights. And we're particularly interested in male gender issues. We're advocates of postmodern feminism, the paradigm shift, anything to do with spiritual matters. Basically, we explore many different areas related to the spiritual world itself and consciousness studies. And today we have Susan Glenn.
Susan Glenn is a personal close friend of mine. Susan is also a personal life coach who specializes in the healing codes, which is a very, very exciting, cutting edge method of healing an individual and really raising consciousness. Susan gives talks about this. Susan's also one of the wisest people I've ever met. So I'm very, very pleased to introduce Susan. Susan, are you there?
Yes, I certainly am.
Susan?
That was quite a wrap, and I thank you kindly for that. It's delightful to be
Welcome
here.
Welcome to the show, Susan.
It's wonderful to have you on the show.
Thank you.
So,
thank you. It's going to
Susan,
be lots of fun.
Oh, it certainly is. It certainly is. So I think we've got a lot of people from the spiritual community listening in. So let's get ready for an hour of really exciting talks about consciousness, healing, and how we can have the life that we want. So, Susan, I'm not sure even where to start with you, because you've got such a depth of knowledge about consciousness and energy healing. Maybe you could tell us a little bit about yourself and how you actually got to the point of energy healing.
And where you are now and your experiences, and we're very excited to hear all of this.
So, Susan, over to you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Well, I've always been a curious little Vegemite, as we say in Australia, and I've always been fascinated with why people actually make the decisions about their life and why they go the way that they go and what actually makes them tick. So that started with me when I was a kid. There were a lot of things that I felt quite clearly that I didn't feel worked in life, and I just didn't do them. I had a very definite attitude when I was a kid, which didn't make me particularly easy for my mother to guide through life. Not at all. At the same time, I'm recognizing now as an adult how helpful that has been, because I realize it has created kind of a rudder directing me, guiding me, giving me, this is going to be a best use of your time, go here. And so that's part of one of the things that I have done. Rather than focusing on the negative things, I have looked to uplift myself. And I've also been really, really grateful that I've got a wicked sense of fun, lots of mischievous and nonsense in me, and that helps to make life, which can get a bit heavy sometimes, definitely had some heavy experiences in my life, and I'm really grateful I've been able to look at those as a challenge to, what would I prefer to do instead of, and ask myself questions like that. So I've not been frightened to talk to me, to the heart of me and who I feel that I really am, and let that guide me. And when I was younger, I didn't feel like I had any intuition or real understanding at all, and yet I was listening to this and didn't actually realize it, certainly didn't put any labels on it. And so I found that about 19 years ago, that's what drew me towards energy. I was just reading a magazine which I had not purchased before to do with consciousness and how to live it. And some various different things just jumped off
the
page.
I think we might have an internet connection problem. Can you hear us, Susan? I think we might have an internet connection problem.
What kind of connection problems?
Can you hear us?
Just, yes. You feel like you're off in the distance, but I can hear you now.
Okay, I hope our listeners can hear us because the computer's saying there's an internet connection problem.
Yep, like we always say, the tests and challenges of life. We'll just carry on with the show.
I guess we'll carry on. Okay, so, Susan, what you're saying is that in many ways your childhood and some of the, your relationship with your mother and the things that she told you shaped your attitude of resilience in your life.
Yes,
as it does.
Yes, absolutely, Lana. And resilience is a good word for me. Persistence is another good word for me. When I feel like there's something exciting to explore, I can't hold myself back. And when I discovered this. When I discovered this energy healing, I am so grateful that the first energy master I went to was as practical, as grounded, and so much fun, but incredibly highly experienced. He'd made an immense amount of money in his life at some points, lost a massive amount, lived in a washing machine cardboard box in the gutter as a drunk in the suburbs in the city of Melbourne in Australia, which is a different state from where Lana and David and I are speaking now. But he just had such broad experience, and while he was very wealthy, he did an immense amount of travelling because he had always been able to see energy, see the auric field of energy that was around people. And as a child, thought everybody could. And we all would love to do that, as I told him. But his experience then in training was fabulous, and it helped me immensely to just take my head off, not think so much and be stuck in my head, which I had been, dive into this immensely deep energy, do the processes that he personally had learned by just putting them together himself. He basically invented these processes that he taught. And at the time that I was doing them, I loved them and recognized that I was looking for even more, that I was looking for something I felt that I personally was more connected to, that more aspects of my own skills were involved with. And so I kept working with this guy, went right through all of his training through the master level, the advanced, the master level, then the trainer level, and then I became a trainer's trainer. And I just loved what he was doing, and I also could sense that I needed to move on. It's very helpful when we are looking for a tool to improve our life to be able to feel what works for you personally, because your particular memory database, all of the programming and emotional baggage you carry that you might like to get in there and shovel out, that has the individual filing system that is just yours. It's not like anybody else. And we do get ourselves a bit muddled by comparing our journey. Oh, well, I've got asthma and you've got asthma, then, you know, it must be the same. And now we're understanding with more recent knowledge, no, people have the issues in their life for entirely their own unique individual reasons. That is how their personal system, their particular body and their spirit and their mind and their emotions, the whole group, are expressing stress that particular way. And it is different for each person, and this is why we feel like individuals and feel separate. And yes, that's we are, awesome. And yet humans basic same things, which is love.
Susan?
Yes.
Hello, Susan? Can you hear me?
Yes.
Can I just stop you there? I think our listeners would be really interested in is if you could tell them a little bit more about energy healing, how long ago you came to it, and what actual tools you're talking about, because some of our listeners might not be familiar with energy healing as opposed to spiritual growth.
So what is the nature of what you're working with and, you know, that sort of thing, maybe describing a little bit.
If I understand, you properly, at the healing codes at the moment, I think they're a specific type of healing. Yep. But prior to that, what you're saying, Susan, is you've been exposed to a whole lot of general energy healing tools. So maybe could you tell us a little bit about the ones that you used to use, and then maybe we can get onto the healing codes.
Right. We don't want to assume that everyone listening knows, you know, about energy healing and about consciousness studies and the things that you're talking about. So
what did you, the first energy healing tools, if you could tell us what they were?
That process, that energy master I was explaining to you, he invented a process called EM, and it just stands for energy movement. And we were working with a client who was lying on the floor so that they were comfortable and couldn't fall off a table or anything, because their body would begin to move as their energy field began to work inside their chakra system. And the chakras are power plugs, basically, in the body that we can actually work with, that feed into the endocrine system, which assists the body system as well. And the reason why I was drawn to that particular process was because it had the capacity to go directly to the very core beliefs of I'm not good enough and I'm not lovable, life is hopeless, it's not fair. That kind of core belief, that process would go directly to that. And yet somehow I recognized and felt that there was more, and there was a quiet engine driving in me to look for other tools. So I did Reiki. I did Reiki 1 and Reiki 2. Then I looked at whether to become a Reiki master and recognized that, no, that wasn't going to be the best use of my time.
You must be having a solar flare. I can't hear her again.
Sorry?
I said you're fading in and out a little bit. I'm not sure if we're having a little bit of a cosmic rays flying in here interrupting us. That's okay. Keep going.
Okay. So Reiki was very helpful. I recognized being a Reiki master, I would be expected to teach Reiki in that capacity, and I understood that I needed to move on because I recognized it wasn't doing all that I was looking for. I was keeping on looking for more that was going to access us more, and I began to recognize that we don't actually know what the filing system of the memory database, where all of that immense amount of data that we've taken on, it's in the form of information, but it's also in the form of a vibration. and a resonance, and we give off these vibes, and we talk about being on one another's wavelength or whatever, we're spot on with that. It absolutely is. And we can actually use the energy healing tools to work with that energy, move it around, change it, alter the kind of vibration. So somebody who's very distressed and very upset, feeling in a critical point in their life, their energy system is giving off a really distressed signal. Mm. And we are able to use various different energy tools to settle and calm that down. Now, I use the healing codes now, and I have been using that since the middle of 2005 because it has been so fabulously complete. Before that, I was using emotional freedom technique, which taps on the ends of energy meridians. And there is a whole family of tools that tap on those energy meridians, and they're being called all different names, but they are basically working with releasing energetically. What I realized was it was requiring the conscious mind to come up with, the everyday mind to come up with, what issue do I feel is what I would like to work on at this moment in time. Well, here's the thing. To find that issue, I need to be experiencing difficulty. Now, that's a very good thing, but there's way more information in our database, in that memory database, that we don't actually realize can be healed. And our conscious mind just doesn't think. It thinks linearly. And what's showing up in recent years of working with energy processes, it's showing up that the memory database is filed in a completely different patterning, and the conscious mind hasn't got the capacity with its linear way of thinking to access and bring forward or recall. And I mean, anybody going for an exam will tell you they went there, they could think of all of the different things they needed, except I just couldn't recall such and such, that date or a person's name. That's our difficult point at this moment in time. And I did have a feeling that we needed to find the filing system, but now I'm understanding maybe that's just trying to control. And with working with the healing codes, I'm now recognizing the immense energy that a tool like the healing codes, and there are other tools, there's Psych K, there's the emotion code. You'll hear Bruce Lipton, the cellular biologist from the US, talk a great deal. He wrote a book by the name of The Biology of Belief. And Bruce Lipton has utilized Psych K. And it's a very good system. And so is the emotion code. There are various different clearing tools. I have used Z-Point. I have used the release technique, which came out of the Sedona method that Lester Levinson began. I utilized some of that. Again, all of those require the conscious mind very heavily to come up with the issue. So I keep utilizing the healing codes because there are so many times I can just use it and not have to go into the thinking patterns. I can relax and just let the energy do the work for me, do the heavy lifting for me, and that's very, very helpful. There's another tool.
That's really, Susan, that's it's yes? really interesting because it is a completely different technique. And I guess it's involve, I think, us believing perhaps in the innate intelligence of the body and the unconscious to heal itself.
Right, we're talking about cellular memory.
The simple answer to that, honey, is no, you don't have to believe or disbelieve anything. If you're using a mechanism that has its own intelligence, it knows and it goes and does that. And there are several like that. I will also quote to you Ho'oponopono, which is a Hawaiian healing process, which is extremely simple. And it utilizes four healing phrases. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. Those four phrases emit immensely high vibration. I'm sorry is contrition.
Yes, love is a high vibration, so it would do that.
Yes, yeah, true. Yes.
And in the body, it's interesting that you mentioned innate intelligence, because that's our autonomic nervous system. Our body does know how to heal itself. Theoretically, as we understand it, it can do, it does heal. And so, you know, these processes, it will take these processes, as you're saying, and it will, like the healing codes, and it will do that. It will take those things. Is that what you're trying to tell us, that that's how the healing code
I'm saying that the energy tool has the intelligence to know the order in which to unravel you, David, because that will be a different order to unravel me, which will be a different unraveling thing for Lana, and then the next person and the next person, and the energy tool knows how to go and unravel it. And then the immune system in our body knows to how to rise to the surface and heal the body issues. But I'm talking about energy tools that heal the entire aspect of our human existence, which is way beyond our body.
So this is the like the conscious energy outside of ourselves, the universal energy working with our body to do this. That's what you're saying, right?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Exactly.
Interesting.
It's a
that's
very
how I
much
sort of...
bigger field of being able to mend than perhaps we were aware of. And because energy healing is so new, it's so young, it's so exciting.
Very exciting.
Can you tell that I'm just a little bit over the top excited about this?
That's why I'm interested.
Because it is so new, we've got to explore with things and try different things, because if we are enthusiastic about wanting to help ourselves, exploring is useful because it gives us the chance to find what feels the most comfortable for me personally, because I want to live in my body comfortably, and I would love it if you do too. I just love how energy is so powerful, it can overpower technology.
Hi everyone, it's David Love, and Lana's here. We apologize for the long interruption. We've had some We were explaining that this is a heavy traffic time where we were going for the internet for our show. But we are back. Unfortunately, we don't have our guests with us because of the technical difficulties. But as they would say, the show will carry on. And we really apologize for this. We were really interested. And we enjoyed a lot of what Susan had to say about the healing code. And I think Lana has a little more to say about that. We do have a lot more to talk about. So I hope that everyone was able to hang on and...
we're gonna have to perhaps change the time of the show and get better internet connection. Meanwhile, though, I hope everyone really enjoyed listening to Susan. As you can hear, Susan is incredibly intelligent, incredibly knowledgeable about energy healing, and the whole of energy healing, I think, David, is just such an exciting area. I know myself, I'm in the therapy that I give people, it's talking therapy. Now, not to say that talking therapy doesn't have an energy component, David, because I think whenever you interact with people, there's an energy.
There's always an exchange of
that's
energy.
That's right.
Everything, those vibrations are always being resonated and
absolutely.
By our cellular consciousness and innate intelligence, like we were speaking about.
I guess so. And so I guess it's interesting to speculate that when you do see someone for talking therapy, you could say it's a type of energy healing. And I wonder, even though you talk about things you're conscious about, maybe it stimulates unconscious processes. But what Susan is talking about is actually a method that specifically goes to unconscious cellular memory and energy, and I think that's really exciting. What we're going to do is we're going to give our listeners. Our listeners, a really interesting website about the healing codes, and I want to talk a little bit about it specifically, because Susan wasn't able to tell us more about it. The healing codes are a method of, amazingly simple actually, of putting your fingers in different positions on your face. One of those positions is over the third eye. Another position is around the jaw area, cheek area, nose area from memory. Now, it's when she first told me about it, I was quite a little bit skeptical. And then when I talked more about it with her, we talked about the fact that your fingers, David, actually emit energy.
Oh, of course. Just like Reiki. You know, I'm a Reiki healer, and I know you are. And, you know, that universal energy, that chi, prana, conscious, that just goes right through us as we do it. It's energy exchange between people and all conscious beings.
That's right.
And it's healing.
That's right. So we actually don't realize that our fingers can be healing tools. The energy code actually makes use of this. The person that I just came up with healing codes himself had an experience where information was downloaded to him from the universal, I guess, God source.
It's a psychic download
to actually be able to put the fingers in a variety of positions that actually stimulate energy and the unconscious to heal. Absolutely fascinating. So easy. It's almost, healing it should be so easy. But
yeah, I guess that's what I love about Reiki, because there's so many complicated systems, and I know acupuncture, where it works with meridians, and everything's very technical and everything, you know, it takes a practitioner years to learn it, and whereas Reiki and the healing codes are very simple, and it's sort of, I guess, like Susan said, I wish, you know, she was here to explain it in detail, but it sort of, it works on different levels of consciousness to sort of collapse those levels, she told me, that are, you know, those thoughts and feelings that are deep within our subconscious mind, even on many levels of existence, alternate realities and past lives, all of those things affect us in so many different ways, and we affect them. All of these realities, we're exchanging information between them. And I guess I was told by Susan in the private conversation that these healing codes and this method that she uses actually heals on many different levels, and I've actually experienced this for myself at one time, how you can heal past lives, you know, if that's one of your beliefs, whether it is for me as a past life regressionist, that we do that we are healing on many different levels.
The for our listeners, the website for Healing Codes, I mean, there's a you can go to healingcodes.com, but I would really urge you to look up Susan's specific site, which is www.thehealingcodes.com.au. AU is for Australia, obviously. Susan is the first practitioner that set up Healing Codes in Australia. Her website, because she's actually put down in detail about the healing codes. So if our listeners are interested, if you go to that website, Susan's actually available, and you can contact her by phone to actually have individual sessions. While the healing codes can be used generically, you do need a practitioner to tell you how to do it, and you can have, you know, personal sessions where the healing codes, a specific code can be given to you that will, you know, especially help you in your individual situation. So very excited. I actually want to explore this more, David.
Yes, I have. I tried to do this myself, and it's hypnosis, and it's really kind of exciting the way it works, as opposed to someone else doing it for you as a Reiki healer.
Well, in fact, David, I guess it is self-healing, which actually brings us to the whole point of our personal sovereignty and whether we actually have the power to direct our lives and heal ourselves. And that's where it's actually very exciting, because I think we do. We are sovereign beings, and a lot of people don't realize that. A lot of people don't realize that they have immense power to control their lives, despite whatever happened in their lives, despite whatever crises, abuse happened, you know, especially as a child. As a child, you're not in control. As an adult, though, you do have access to increasing levels of control you can have in your life, and I think that's really exciting.
I do, too, and I guess we're talking about personal power or inner power, and that's something that came to me more recently, and it was, and like you're saying, it was really a revelation to me to know that I have this internal power, this feeling of, it's even more than self-confidence, it's aware, it's a point where you find within yourself that you have everything you need to not only heal, but to function and thrive and be successful. And you realize that you have control over yourself, and that your circumstances outside yourself do not control you, and you don't have control over everything outside of yourself. But as you become an observer of your thoughts and feelings through meditation, you learn these techniques, as I've done over many years through meditation practice, which is one way to do it. You eventually will come to the realization of this inner power and the sovereignty that you actually do have, and that it's not outside of yourself. It's not in the money. It's the value and the worth that you have within yourself. And it does, I guess it does take a while to really, for so many people to understand that those outside influences really don't have to affect you, and that you don't have to, you know, like a lot of the patients that you deal with depression stuff need that. It's a very difficult concept.
It is a difficult concept. I actually don't think that we're taught that as children in schools. My God, David, one of the things I'm so passionate about is actually teaching, you know, making sure that part of the curriculum in school is not just math and science, but personal growth, for people to actually realize that they are so much more in control of their life than I think they are. There was a really interesting book that was written some time ago by a man who went through Auschwitz, Viktor Frankl.
Okay.
Not the name of the book, but it was about personal power. Now, Viktor Frankl was a Jew in a concentration camp, and he actually got through it. And my God, I mean, can you think of any situation where you are traditionally, in the traditional worldview, less in control of your life than in a concentration camp? Well, that despite whatever situation you're in, you are in control of how you perceive it. Viktor Frankl and others who are resilient enough to survive concentration camps had something very different to those that didn't survive. So we're not talking about physical power, we're talking about the mental power and the mental wisdom to perceive the difference between what happens to you and how you perceive it.
Absolutely. It's like you said, it's mind-boggling. It's this whole mind-body awareness. Awareness of ourselves. It's that process of going within that I'm sure many of our listeners know about.
That's right,
It's a very different experience. It's something that I guess you get through an awakening. I believe that's what they call an awakening, when you finally come to the realization that it's not about what's outside of you, it's what's within you, and it's about becoming aware of yourself. It's becoming self-actualized, as I wrote in one of my books.
You know, David, as I say, it's not what happens to you. It's you do about it?
Or how you respond to it.
So getting back to the book on Viktor Frankl, the difference between the people that survived the concentration camp and those that didn't were that the people like Viktor Frankl had this very powerful attitude. Whatever was done to them, no one could control his attitude and what he thought of it. And this was incredibly powerful. So, and he got through with the knowledge that he had complete sovereignty over his mind. Now, I do think it takes time to reach that level, because it's all very well to realize that, but how do you actually make sure that you remain sovereign when horrific things happen to you? Well, I guess his attitude was, stuff you, I'm going to get through this. And whatever you do, you can't break me. And, of course, that's the power of thoughts. And we need to realize that our spirit and our thoughts can be two different things. They can be aligned and they can be non-aligned. So if you have negative thoughts, thoughts that you're not worthy, thoughts of bad things happen to you, you have to realize that just because you have those thoughts doesn't mean it's true. And by realizing that, you can actually change those thoughts and substitute those thoughts. So back to Viktor Frankl, even in a situation where people were harming him, people were, degrading him.
Torturing them.
Despite all that, assuming you weren't actually killed, you were still able to know that what they did was wrong and that you have the right to have quality life, that no one can actually break your love towards you and your family and your knowledge of your inherent human rights. And that got him through. Now, that's an extreme example, but isn't that powerful? You know, if someone can get through a concentration camp like that, my God, what does that mean for us?
And every single one of us has our tests and challenges, just as today, just with this video show. I mean, we have these difficulties. These things are going to happen. There's going to be something that's going to interrupt your life, and it's up to you as to how you, whether you react or respond to it, and whether you decide to carry on or you want to. You know, this is, we have the control over how we do this, and I say we continue on and we do what we need to do, and we can just pick up right now where we are. That's what personal growth is about. It's about improving, and it's about knowing that in this moment, you are only in this moment, and you only have this thought that you have now and this experience that you have now. So you have the opportunity from here to take control in this moment and move on and do the best you can with the circumstances that you're in.
And you know, David, I think a lot of that also involves love. So
absolutely,
not just control, but love. And for people that either go and get healing from someone else, or people that learn those techniques, be it meditation or be it like healing codes, you know, to actually sit down and to meditate, to sit down and go through the finger positions of the healing codes, to actually go to a therapist perhaps and allow yourself to have healing sessions once a week, that involves commitment. That involves insight and that involves love. That involves your commitment to yourself and the knowledge that you are worthless. And, you know, if you have that position, you are unstoppable.
Absolutely. Once you know that, you have control over your time, you have control over your body, you have control over your actions within any circumstance as much as you can, and no matter what's going on around you, you are within inside yourself, and you cannot be broken. Your body can be broken, but your spirit cannot, and your mind cannot, no matter what. You are a powerful being. You are a co-creator of the universe, and I do believe that the creator resides within us. As it was one philosopher said, we are spirit beings having a human experience.
That's right.
And I believe that we are as they say, I believe that we are gods because we are co-creators of the universe. God is experiencing life through us in order to expand and grow, and that's what I believe personal growth and spiritual evolution is all about. And so we have the power of the universe within us. Most people just don't understand that, or they don't want to accept that, or whatever the reason is. I do believe that this is the truth, and I do feel this. And it's very powerful to feel that. It's very powerful to know that if you don't feel self-love, and I've heard many people say that self-love is about going off, isolating yourself, and maybe going off and finding it within yourself, but many people can't find self-love. They've never experienced love, so they don't know what love is. They haven't shown love, and they don't know it. And I guess if you don't know it, realize that there is love in the universe, and it is that higher vibration. It is that conscious energy. It is what we call chi, and it does reside within you. So that the love of the Creator is within you, and so you have that, your higher powers. You have the love from the Creator and the love from the higher power for yourself. And that transcends all religions and all philosophies and all ideologies. I believe that is a universal truth. And we have that available to us at all times, and we just need to recognize that and claim it as a personal power.
Absolutely. You know, it's interesting. One of the things that Susan was saying was her sense of humor, and I must attest to that. You know, Susan and I have had such a good time laughing at things, and Susan does have a very wicked sense of humor. But it's interesting. Not only is personal power and insight important, I think a really good sense of humor is important, because, you know, when life throws you crap or a big bill or when a tax upon gets too much, if you can actually see the funny side of things, and actually release, you know, gives you much more power. So let us add to all of those ingredients a good sense of humor. I mean, what do you think?
We're laughing about this because this happens to us as much as anyone else. We all get crap thrown at us. We're no exception. Anyone else on the planet, we've all, you know, and we do. Even yesterday, we took the time and we took a break after doing so much work of fighting the good fight, as I sometimes like to say with my friends. It's now time for us. We are now going to take time with each other, and we're going to relax and just be with ourselves and laugh and joke and live, and, you know, because we are sovereign beings and we can do that. We are not slaves to the system. We are not slaves to, despite if anyone does believe that, I do not. And I do love myself enough, and Lana respects herself enough, and we have enough self-worth to know that we are valuable enough that we do have the right to take time to have a good time for a little while.
Absolutely, and laugh a lot.
You know, no matter what's going on. You can do that anywhere. I'm sure that's what you're saying about Frankel in the concentration camp.
That's right.
He had that attitude.
Amazing.
That attitude that
absolutely
you can't break my spirit.
And, you know, I don't think it's strength. A lot of people think, well, strong people can do it,
mm-hmm.
weak people can't. I'd like to suggest it's not actually about weakness and strength per se, but like about the muscle you have in your brain. It's actually about insight and attitude. This is actually information. If you know that you can do it, you can do it. It's about information and love. Our show, as you know, is called Universal Soul Love, and it's today we've been focusing on personal power and personal love. Coming up over the next few weeks, we are also going to be focusing on relationships and the love you have towards your partner, or the love you give yourself towards finding a partner, because David and I believe that having a partner in your life is really important. If you don't have a partner, the relationships you have with your children or your you know, relatives or other people, the relationship you have with your pets,
mm.
with Earth, relationships, loving relationships towards yourself and others are terribly important.
They certainly are. We've talked about that quite a bit. It is all about relationships.
Absolutely. And we'll also be talking about relationships towards Earth, because as you know, both David and I are animal advocates, environmentalists, and we do believe that there's a responsibility we have to Mother Earth and to love Earth back. So those are some of the exciting things you can look forward to over the next few weeks, and we will
control some of the solar flares or change them this time to make sure we don't have any more internet interruptions.
Yes. As they say, when you learn from your mistakes, and hopefully you learn, and if something doesn't work, you try something different,
that's
you try
right.
a new strategy.
Absolutely.
That's just been my experience for 20 years. Is,
absolutely.
You know, we don't believe in failure, but we do learn, and we do believe in learning from our experiences, and it's really important. And so
we hope you've enjoyed the show. I'm very excited about the whole idea of energy healing. In fact, I'm going to go do meditation, actually do some of those healing codes right now. Feeling very enthusiastic. All right, goodbye to all of our listeners, and hope we catch you. Are we having a show in a week's time or 2 weeks? Do we know?
I think we're so busy we haven't even had a chance to...
Well, it will be in a week's time. David will put out a post about when we next have our show, and we've got a really interesting lineup of speakers. So hope to catch you then. Universal soul love to everyone. Goodbye.
Thank you, everyone. I appreciate you joining us. And I apologize that we weren't able to have Susan with us, but we really enjoyed having her, and I hope you look up her website.
Just once again, her website is www.healingcodes.com.au. All righty.
Thank you, Susan, if you're listening. We really appreciated having you on the show, and thank you, everyone, for listening, and we will see you next time on Universal Soul Love. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.